fire that burns within my heart. Jesus is your name.
So this morning we're going to continue on the latter rain, revival or strange fire, but we're going to probably call it something else. Open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Last week we talked a lot about the latter rain, and this is a lot of the things we thought was Pentecostalism. It came forth, and we talked about William Branham. And the reason why we talked about him is because they're also bringing him back, as this is the anointing and the mantle that the new generation need to have. And boy, we love God's people everywhere, don't we? We need to pray for people to come out, just like he's shown us to come out. And it's a lot to come out of. I try to take every week just a layer at a time, because you can overwhelm people when you're discovering and seeing some of the things that we've been taught have not been correct. And this is all by design. And the end times, we have to know that the new world order is about religion. And the religion, and like Alice Bailey and all these others say that they will use the churches. They're not getting rid of churches. They will use their churches and speak what they want to speak, and there's going to be a huge mixture. So we have to separate the pure from the vile. We have to separate it, ask the Lord to give us wisdom and discernment. So in 2 Timothy, we're going to go to this scripture here. In chapter 3, this know also that in the last days, perilous times will come. Now the false prophets are saying it's going to get better. It's going to get easier. You're going to have no cancer, no sickness on the earth, that heaven is coming to the earth. And there's going to be a civil war in the church. They're calling for a civil war for those that stand on the Bible versus what the new prophets are saying. So this is part of this latter rain movement, which is, it went undercover and it's got a facelift. And now it's got new names and new doctrines, but they're still saying the same thing. And this is why we're trying to go through this little by little here, that their perilous times shall come. For men shall be what? Lovers of their own selves. Now we have the me gospel. It's all about me. You come to church to hear how great you are. You're a king. You're a queen. All these things, what are they doing? They're lifting you up, and they're putting God down. And covetous. The Bible says we are not to be covetous, but now we have preachers that teach you how to covet, that you should have a plane like I have. And if you're as blessed as I am, you should have this and that and this and that. And what are they doing? They're taking the material things of the world and making that the focus, where the true gospel is not about the material things. It's always about going into heaven. It's about preaching the gospel. It's about bringing people with us. It's getting people saved. It's not focusing on covetousness. And it says there'll be boasters. They boast, and they're proud. They're blasphemies. They're disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. On and on it goes, despisers of those that are good, lovers of pleasure. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What is the power? The power is in the gospel. The Bible says he's chosen the foolishness of preaching to get people saved. From such, doesn't say join, doesn't say unite. It says what?
Turn away.
For such, and then it goes on there, I'm not going to go into that. Let's look into verse 10. But thou hast faithfully known my doctrine. Now, doctrine is very important. Teaching is very important. The false prophets of this hour were saying, forget doctrine. We're in a new reformation. We don't need to worry about doctrine. Let's all come and gather around the Pope. The church is being called back to Rome. Let's all come together, united together, together, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, the Bible says doctrine is important. Doctrine is important. We don't set aside doctrine to just be united with all other religions, which is the New World religion. But he said, thou hast faithfully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution. We need to know that persecution and censorship is happening now, not only on Facebook, but around the world. We're in the middle of it now, and if you're not being prepared for it, you're going to be shocked in these end times, because the censoring of the true gospel is going to be tried to be snuffed out, and a false gospel and a false Jesus, another spirit, all these things are going to be promoted. So we need to know the real doctrine that was taught. So be very careful about who's teaching you in this hour. You have to do your own research on everybody. No one has all truth. And many people are doing the best they can, but others are totally deceived. Deceived by people that we thought were our great leaders. And find out, as we found out last week about William Branham, he was rooted and grounded in the occult. His parents were from the occult. And the signs and wonders that he had were occultic. And he even had the pyramid on his grave, a Freemason sign. And you have to know that we are being infiltrated by Freemasons. And this is not new, it's old. But if you don't know what they're teaching and what the real gospel is, you're going to be deceived in this end times, because there is a suffering that's happening. To separate from some of these teachings, you lose your friends because they think you're weird. But you have to study in this hour, do your own research, because there are persecutions coming. In verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax better and better, worse and worse. The world is not going to get better. The world is going to be barbaric. We're already seeing many signs of perilous, wild, strange things happening on the earth. He said, and God's preparing us. This book is a book of prophecy. You can't just dissect prophecy. True, this Bible is a book of what's going to happen, and it's truth. It's not these flaky false prophets that always have a new word every day, every season, every year, every whatever. But this is the true word of prophecy, and he's letting us know evil men and seducers. They're going to seduce where? In the middle of our churches, sheep disguised in wolves disguised as sheep to go after the sheep. And they use a few scriptures and they sprinkle it here and there. And you think, well, they're preaching from the Bible. And if you don't know the Bible, you're going to be pulled away, because there are scriptures. The devil knows how to use scriptures, even on Jesus when he was tempting him. He knows the word. So you be careful. It's not twisted. It's not turned. But he said seducers are going to wax worse and worse. Deceiving and being deceived. But what are we supposed to do in this hour? Continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom you hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known what? The holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Our faith is not in a man. It's not in ourself and our own faith. We were taught to have the faith of God. You can do everything God does. So basically you don't need God then, right? No, but we have our faith in him. Faith comes by hearing the word. Have faith in God. The more we read the Bible, the more the faith comes. It's not something you have to work at. It's not something you have to go to a seminary, to a seminar to get more faith. Faith comes as you read the word. So he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Then in verse 2, it says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and what? Here's that word doctrine again. For the time will come. Well, they will not endure sound doctrine. We're in that day now. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having what? Itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, which is something that's not real. It's something that's false. Now, I shared this once before, and it's worth repeating. It's on the messed up church, but it's a manifesto of Christian discernment. We need to have discernment in this hour. You need to test and try the spirits to see if they're of God. I believe, like in the Old Testament, there were 400 false prophets to a one, wow. Micaiah. And we're living in a day where there's many more false than there are real. And they are the ones that have the platforms. So we have to know that we have to discern. It's not a matter of being critical. It's a matter of guarding your heart, guarding your soul. Are they preaching the Bible? So here is a quick thing, and I've shared parts of this before, and I want to review it, because this is something that we have to do every time we hear a sermon. We will maintain a healthy skepticism towards all the big-name leaders in the church. No matter how famous a Christian celebrity might be, included in that are singers, we refuse to be gullible just because someone has become a brand name. We will check everything, any pastor, every teacher, what they say against the Word of God. And when it comes to the most powerful, multi-millionaire super pastors, we will assume the worst until convinced otherwise. Why? You can't be so gullible. They've gotten riches for a reason. Somebody's supporting them. Who is supporting these end-time ministries? Acts 17, they received the words of Bereans with all what readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. This is what we have to do. We have to get back to searching daily, seeing if what they're saying, there's so many people coming in his name, there's so many people doing things in his name, and it's deception. Okay? So we refuse to be impressed or motivated by storytelling, drama, and entertainment. You have to make a decision. You're going to go strictly for the Bible, because this whole movement is entertainment, and it's to get your soul seduced. It's to feel something. It's to have an encounter. And it's, so we want God and his written word is the only acceptable focus of a worship service, not the performance and the manipulations of men. We cannot be manipulated by somebody's story. And also, as I've studied the Latter Rain movement, which now it's coming under a different name. It's went through different movements in the New Apostolic Reformation. These healings that they claim to have, as you go through a study of them, there are no authentic healings. These are all lies. And this is hard to say, because we were raised up to think all these men were miracle workers. But when you find out that they're deceivers, it's very hard to take. Do your own research on the Latter Rain. Do a Latter Rain Exposed. Find out all the teachers. Anyone that promoted William Branham, you need to stay away from, because they're in on it. How sad is that? We will not tolerate idiotic stunts in order to bring the unsaved to church. Because what happens is, it's now a seeker-sensitive church, and they're watering down everything. And this is part of the New World religion, is going to water down, get rid of Christianity, bring in all this other stuff, and make the church so exciting that anybody that's unsaved just feels really welcome. Well, I remember when I used to go to church, I was convicted. I was like, I need to get right. And that's when the word is being preached, the Holy Spirit should bring conviction to you, not to condemn you, but to draw you to say, live a different life, not just to make you feel welcome and join the club. You know, we aren't going to say anything that's going to offend you. Well, our flesh sometimes needs to be offended. We will not tolerate claims of direct revelation from any pastor or teacher. This is what they're saying now, is God told me. Everything's God told me, God told me. Now, does that mean we don't believe in the Bible and the supernatural? I do believe in the Bible as supernatural. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. God has, you know, you can't separate God from as the Spirit wills. The problem is, these people are making things happen that God's not doing, and they're collecting other spirits. There are other spirits out there in the spirit realm other than God. So any pastor or teacher that claims to hear something new directly from God will be immediately disqualified. That should be a red flag to us, rather than, oh, these psychics, really what they are, psychics, they're going to give me a new word from God. I had to talk to someone this week that was all into heaven and trips to heaven, and they had no clue, because they haven't been following us on YouTube, what really is being preached, and they thought they were going to send something to help my family and my brother, and I had to send all these teachings to them. It's like, wow, who knew this was going on? Well, because we've studied this, we know what's going on. And they're like, these are in all the churches, the big churches. Don't be impressed with bigness. Narrow is the way. The wide gate, it's really wide, it's broad. So we understand that false teachers need a constant influx of new and gullible listeners. We refuse to participate. Refuse to be gullible. Refuse. There is a season when you're first saved, you're gullible. We all were. We're all gullible, and just, wow, you know, they know the Lord. They've had trips to heaven, and they've went to hell and all this. And you got to question all that now. there's a lot of money being made on these so-called trips, you know. When the real men of God couldn't even hardly say it was just two, you know, they had glimpses and they couldn't even talk about it. These people just laugh and joke and let's go tomorrow. We can go whenever we want. Zoom up, Scotty. Definitely something is wrong with this picture. A pulpit and a microphone should only be used to direct attention to Christ, not towards a pastor who loves the attention of the audience. Now we have pulpits that are entertainments. They're show. Who, you know, what kind of show you're going into? The music is now entertainment, and it's who's got the best music. But they're not worshiping God. The whole purpose of church is to worship Him and to hear the Word. We've added so many things that God didn't want added. So that's why the end time church is going into the Laodicea, the lukewarm. And God says, I'll spit you out of my mouth. I don't want to be spit out. How about you? But then it says, here I'm just going to continue a little bit. Stop telling people it's all about Jesus when you actually talk more about yourself and your ideas. What is this? Narcissism. Now we have many ministers that are very narcissistic. It's all about them. That should be a red flag. Yes. True, humble ministers and Paul and all the ones in the Bible, they were servants. They were there to give God the glory. They weren't there to take the glory away from the Lord. Amen. These that twist the church are narcissists. Then stop bragging. What does it mean to brag? To speak with pride and exaggeration about how much you're doing for God. Stop bragging about how great your church is. Yeah. And then I want to close this section out with to the pastors. Pastor, you're a sinner that deserves God's wrath just like the rest of us. Jesus took the punishment we deserve upon himself to set us free from sin and death, and you didn't do anything. Either tell us about the true gospel or we will go somewhere else. You are not a rock star. You're a servant of Jesus Christ. You are not a CEO. You're a servant of Jesus Christ. Churches have turned into businesses now. That's not God's will. You are not a motivational speaker. You are a servant of Jesus Christ. Stop taking Bible verses out of context to support your own personal agenda. Stop spending so much time putting on a good show each Sunday. Instead, you need to start reading and studying the Bible. The people sitting underneath you are starving. This is still on discernment. Stop emphasizing leadership skills as if you were running a large corporation. You're cheapening the church and starving your sheep. Stop using marketing gimmicks and promotional tricks to imitate a genuine work of God. Just give them a little smoke, a little lights, and they say the glory's here. Stop embarrassing us by trying to be cool, relevant, and modern. Just preach the word. Stop thinking that nobody will show up if you don't tickle people's ears to get them in the door. Stop relying on musicians to create a fake Holy Spirit. Stop using musicians to put on a show as part of the Sunday morning show. Stop giving motivational speeches that promise success in the name of God. All humanistic. Stop manipulating people. Start serving them. Stop pointing to yourself. Point to Jesus. In conclusion of this, we will seek out the pastor who faithfully serves God, proclaims repentance and forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. God's word alone will be our guide. It will be our joy to serve faithfully under a true minister of God, no matter what. God help us all in the name of Jesus. This is a day we have to have discernment. Amen? Otherwise, you're going to be swallowing poison. Now in Galatians 1, we're going to continue here about, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than what we have preached to you, let him be, what, accursed. We're in an hour now where they're talking a lot about angels, and you can command and direct your angels. First of all, they're not your angels. They're God's angels. I love angels. I thank God for them. The verses about the angels of the Lord encampeth round about us. We thank the Lord for his angels that are ministering spirits to the air, but we don't control that. He does. We don't control the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the words of knowledge. He does. We don't say we just have this gift. God might use you in a different way all the time, but it's as the Spirit wills. The false preachers act like they have a corner on it. This is their gift. They have to put on this show. They start prophesying over everybody. They think it's their gift, and they end up deceiving people. Now, Colossians 2:18, let's look there. And it says, oh, there's so many good things in here. But let's verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. Worshiping of angels. Now we're in the schools of supernatural ministry where they have an angel for everything that they can control. They boss around. They don't need to pray and ask God now. They just command their angels. They decree and declare. They have so much authority because they're so godlike. This is a very sad doctrine that's permeated many, many movements. The worshiping of angels, intruding. You cannot put yourself in a place that God hasn't put you. Don't want to be somebody you are not. Intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. So what is happening here is Paul wrote this scripture to the Colossian church because it was being infiltrated with what? Gnostic teachings. Now, a little review of what the Gnostics were. This was written, there's things here written for against the Gnostics, but we have a rise of Gnosticism today. You need to know what Gnosticism is, because if you don't, many are going to fall into the deception. They're not going to have discernment because these Gnostics sound so smooth-talking. They are absolutely fabulous preachers. They smooth-talk you. They could sell ice to Eskimos. The Gnostics valued what they experienced and what they learned from angels over the Holy Scriptures. This is Gnosticism now. They believed in progressive revelation. In other words, the Bible is just a foundation, but you have to go off of the map. You have the Holy Spirit now, and he's going to lead you into deeper revelations. Beware of that teaching, because the Holy Spirit is here, yes, but he's going to always show you and tell you the same things that's in the Bible. God is not a man that he should lie. He's not going to lie to you. He's not going to tell you one thing in here and then have a prophet tell you that God's saying something else now. He always agrees. The Holy Spirit and the Word agree. But the Gnostics love and they live on extra-biblical revelations. And all their ministers all have visions of heaven and hell. You can see them all through the latter rain. Go back and study the latter rain preachers. You're going to see this occult stuff is called the word of knowledge. William Branham was supposed to know things about people supernaturally that he didn't know. Well, Edgar Cayce did the same thing. Edgar Cayce was a psychic. Some of these things are supernatural, but they're not from God. Okay, so you have to know, just because something sounds so spiritual and so supernatural, it doesn't mean that it's from God. That's why Deuteronomy 18, Deuteronomy 13 is in the Bible to let us know, don't be going off into these witchcrafts and all this stuff, necromancy, praying to dead people. They're dead. They can't come back, so let them go. Quit praying to Mary. She's dead. God does not reveal... God does not reveal things to us that contradicts his word. You have to know that, because voices can come to us and we can think it's God. Voices have come to me in the past and I thought it was God, and I found out later that was not God, but it was real. It was a voice. I heard it very clearly, but it didn't agree. It was totally contradictory. So you can't just be led by spirits. You have to be rooted and grounded in the Bible. And this is what my heart goes out for the youth, because the youth now are the target. This is where they're going after. They're going after the youth because the older people are stuck in their ways. They want the Bible. The new people want experiences. They're taught you're so spiritual if you can have an encounter. In fact, if you don't have an encounter with an angel, there's something wrong with you. Yeah. And they're being judged like, wow, I better get with it here. I better go have an encounter. They're being taught this. They don't need the Bible anymore because they say God speaks directly to them. So what are these people doing? These youth now, they're following the men. They're following, well, what's God saying now? What's God saying now? This old Bible, that, you know, that's old. Now he's building upon the scriptures. This is what the what these movements, and it goes way back. This is not new. So I've been studying this back since the 40s. This is all part of the end time deception, the latter rain deception under a new name. They don't like titles and names because then when they get exposed, they squirm out of it. So they always are changing. And these doctrines go underground and they come up and they emerge. They morph into something else. The latter rain doctrines, the roots you have to know is Gnosticism. And many of this is Freemasonry. They teach an elite spiritual group possess this hidden knowledge of the spirit realm. They follow extra-biblical teachings. Today, we have modern Gnostics. They did not go away. Now we have modern ones. Doctrines for the last days are changed. This is huge with the Gnostics. They don't go, we just preached on the end times are going to be what? Perilous. We're going to see persecution. We're going to see suffering. Christians are going to be snuffed out in the end times. This is all part of design, and God allows it because he's coming back with a new kingdom, a new heaven and earth, but these false prophets want to redeem this earth. And they say Christ can't come back until there's heaven on earth, and they have dominion, and they have the seven mountains. And all. It sounds so good, but guess what? It's a lie. So these are modern Gnostics. They changed the last day ministries. They say there's no more rapture or revealing of the Antichrist. Now only victory. It's the triumphant church and conquering the earth by bringing heaven to the earth. That's not what the Bible says. They twist a few scriptures. Let me go into a couple more things that these latter rain teachers that are now into, it's gone into different movements. Ruling until Christ comes. We can rule and reign in such dominion. Who needs Christ? This is the deception. Who needs God when your words create whatever you want? When you're so, this is a subtlety of it. They will establish the kingdom of God on earth. The doctrines from the latter rain, the wicked are raptured, taken in judgment, not the church. That's absolutely opposite of what the Bible says. The dominion mandate, the body is to possess the land and rule on the earth before Christ can even come back. That's not what the Bible says. Another one, red flags, if this is being taught in your churches, spiritual warfare. The believer must topple heavenly powers and take their place in order to rule the earth. Many of them go up in airplanes and they call down certain things and they're going to rule and reign in the heavenlies. They walk around towns and they take dominion and authority, and guess what? Nothing changes. I could tell you stories. New revelation. They're getting new revelation. This is all the latter rain comeback now with a facelift under the new apostolic reformation, which they claim isn't new. It's not apostolic. It's not a reformation. They say they don't exist. But there are new apostles and prophets that are teaching false doctrine. They have new revelation from dead saints. Well, God's not going to speak through dead saints because he said necromancy is forbidden. So he's not going to send Abraham through your wall to give you a word. If you're getting it, you better repent. It's the wrong spirit. These young kids are praying for these encounters. I want Joseph to come to me, and I want this and that. Now, these revelations from dead saints, and they have secret doctrines that only the overcomers can understand. And the Bible says stuff about overcomers, but these words are being changed and the truths are being twisted to a secret revelation, secret knowledge that actually makes people puffed up in pride, and it's very, very sad. They're restoring the apostles and the prophets to discipline the body and submit to elders. So you're going back now. We came out of the 70s where there was a huge shepherding, controlling movement. Well, now these apostles and prophets, it's going to be another shepherding movement. You have to align yourself under a covering of one of these super apostles. This is shepherding again. Some of us have lived through this movement. It's coming back with the facelift. to bring about the perfecting of the saints. Guess what? We're not going to be perfected on this earth. We're going to be changed through him. They preach perfection, and also, if you study the whole thing through, that they'll never die, that there's going to be overcomers that even conquer death. So they don't bring out all these doctrines right away, but as you study these movements, these people were weird. Unity of all believers, since Christ cannot incarnate into an undivided body. So they actually preach, we are becoming the body of Christ. The whole Tommy Hicks vision, of which I preached 40-some years ago, was latter rain, which is foolishness, which we found out, wow. I could list a whole bunch of names and throw you all into a huge state of confusion, but you're going to have to do this line upon line, precept upon precept, because they preach the manifested sons of God, that Christ is formed in his people. Joel's army. Now, they do take scriptures. They base stuff on scriptures, but they add to it. Or they call it the birth of the man-child. The manifested sons of God doctrine teach that these sons will be equal to Jesus Christ. Immortal, sinless, perfected saints who have partaken of the divine nature. See how subtle these end time doctrines are, how they take a scripture and then they twist it. Quote, this is from a book that I used to have. Some of these people, I have all their books, but I did. It's like I was blessed by not seeing what they were really saying. He's, quote, they will have every right to be called gods and will be called gods, little g. This is from the book Prophets and the Prophetic Movement, Bill Hammond. They will have every right to be called gods. No, we are not gods. He's God. But this is the whole movement is you are gods. Your words create power. You have the same power that's in your words that God had when he created the creation. Well, guess what? Have you found you don't? When you hit a crisis and this stuff doesn't work, a lot of people have mental breakdowns because they've been taught certain things that doesn't pan out. It's not reality. And they teach you to live in this fantasy world where you have no problems. When a problem hits, they don't know how to handle it, and they don't know who to talk to because, oh, you just don't have enough faith because we've been taught wrong. Here's the key. The church is not the God-man collectively and never will be. These men are rewriting the Bible. The latter rain, the NAR, they believe in a Jesus who unites all religions throughout the world. It's called ecumenicalism. You go back into the latter rain teachings, a lot of them, they were joining with all these other religions even back then. And what was their focus? Signs and wonders. Healings. They were trying to unite all the religions. This is not new. It's been going on for many, many, many years. Ecumenicalism. The latter rain, it's really the revival of the occult. And this is why we have to make sure that we study to show ourselves approved and have no hero that can't be tested. Some of our old mentors, some of their visions, I've checked them out now that I know what I know. And I was like, how could have I fallen for that? But it sounds so good. This is the worldwide Christian unity. This is what's happening now. This is happening in the day that we live right now. The worldwide Christian unity, it's ecumenicalism. It's setting stage for the last day's global religion, the harlot church. A harlot, what's a harlot? A harlot's a woman who is intimate with anyone, anywhere. This is what this church is. It's intimate with different religions. Bring in their gods. We can all serve. We all serve God. We just call them different names. No, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes up to the Father but by him. That's going to be hate speech in the future. These will not be able to, we won't be able to preach this in the future because they're going to say, we all serve the same God. It's just different gods. This is ecumenicalism, and it's happening now. The apostate church, this is where we're going. A harlot is a woman who is intimate with any man, anywhere. This is the apostate church, religion that joins all faiths together under the banner of tolerance. Let's focus on love and unity. Let's focus on signs and wonders. Let's focus on revival. But the problem with their revival is they are not preaching sound doctrine. They're lifting up man, they're having mass crusades, and they're all bringing people back to Rome. They believed in other gods, and what is that? According to the Bible, that's harlotry. That's harlotry. We didn't make the rules. We didn't set this up. This is his Bible, his word. We're going to all have to answer to him. They set aside their doctrines for unity. Now, you have to know that this is a false Jesus. There's a true Jesus, and there's a false Jesus. The false Jesus, what does he do? He will allow everyone into heaven. That's false Jesus. He came to bring peace and not division. False Jesus. He doesn't require obedience, holiness, or repentance. Just preaches on love. Another Jesus. Calls everyone his children. No, he doesn't. Jesus even said, you're the father of the devil. It's a broad way. They're preaching the broad way. Broadway, Broadway. They're preaching Broadway. This is the false Jesus the world loves. The world loves this false Jesus because it doesn't cost them anything. They want it easy. They want it tolerant. Come together, they say, to reach the next generation, the together generation. Have you seen mass conventions with together? With the Pope and Nick Hall and Pulse and Together Generation. Boy, it sounds good, doesn't it? Sorry if this offends you, but I have to speak the truth as long as we can. Let me close with a couple other things. You guys doing okay?
Yeah.
Here's some of the things you have to know if this is seeping in to your church. Some key beliefs of the NAR, which they say doesn't exist. So regardless of what they call it, here's the signs. We've entered a second apostolic age, they say. This is marked by increasing signs and wonders. You have to have signs and wonders, because if you don't have signs and wonders, Christ isn't with you. In order for the church to accomplish its mission, we need to be under, here's the shepherding again under a new name, apostolic alignment. Which means that God will fully function once the new instructions from these new apostles and prophets are obeyed. So everybody wants to hear from God, so everyone wants their own apostle. Now, we're starting to see this in some of these churches, but it's going to increase. Christians should somehow take over the world in a way that's never happened before. The mandate, Seven Mountains, is the means for this to happen. Christians now have a great destiny to achieve as royalty. Now you're queens and you're kings and you're so special. That right there is puffing you up. A great destiny to achieve as royalty on the earth. We are bringing heaven to earth. Number three, the Holy Spirit has introduced new demands that aren't taught in the Bible. Fresh revival is his new emphasis. So ongoing meetings, conventions and lengthy worship sessions are needed with rock bands, smoke machines, and emotional speakers who yell a lot. The institution of the Christian church is not nearly as important as this new move of God. We are told to constantly ask for more, 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 more. Guess what? You're complete in Christ. You're complete in Christ. We are told to constantly ask for more. More, Lord. One thing's for sure, they're always having more and more conferences to attend with people at Yale. Jesus is an example for us to duplicate. Red flag. We should literally be doing greater works than him. This means we should all expect to raise the dead. How many dead have you raised? What's wrong with you if you're not raising dead? And guess what? They aren't either. They're not either. And heal anyone we want to at any time. There are no leaders in this movement who are actually doing these things. But they make great claims of having extraordinary power and ability. And if you buy their books, DVDs, conference tickets, they promise to give you the secret formula. This is theology of glory as opposed to the theology of the cross. A great end time harvest outpouring will occur once we battle through enough demons. Got to get those demons down. Platform or perform enough miracles and unify under these new apostles. This is all a lie. This is a scam. Chasing after your tail. There is supposed to be a billion soul harvest, according to many in this movement, although the Bible only speaks of an end time falling away, defined by great signs and wonders. A wicked generation seeketh after a sign. Although God is giving new revelations to his prophets, apostles, they will make many mistakes, they say. Be careful. Let these prophets fail. Let them make mistakes. In the process, it's okay. But following the Bible, they tell you, makes you a religious and a narrow-minded Pharisee. So what happens? You just got to go off the map, go in the spirit, forget your head, just go in the flow. Let any spirit that wants to talk to you, it's got to be from God. See how dangerous this is? And our youth are falling for this because they're so hungry for more of God. They use your mind as generally bad, but having a mystical and a subjective experience is very good. In other words, when these prophets make mistakes, which they will, it's okay. But in the Old Testament, when they made mistakes, aren't you glad we don't live under those days? They were stoned to death. But now these new apostles and prophets, you know they're going to make mistakes. It's okay. We're all learning the spirit realm. And they're giving people just this huge out for making a lot of people stumble and fall. In this new movement, we are to give people an encounter. We're coming to church. We owe you an encounter with God. So we got to sing for an hour and a half to get you in the spirit. I won't even go there. Because the simple gospel isn't enough. We have to add. We got to make it so that you really feel. People need to see the power of God with their very eyes in order to believe. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we're supposed to hear the word. Faith comes by hearing. It doesn't say faith comes by seeing. So there's no faith in these people. They want to see stuff. This is to make sure you're not following for their teachings. How special and lovable we are. Oh, you're just so great. You're all just so wonderful. Not understanding how our sin deserves the wrath of God, which took Jesus upon, he took upon the cross for us, for our sin. So really, they don't lead people to the Lord. They don't get them saved. They just let them know, God accepts you as you are, whatever God you bring. See how dangerous we're living in this time. Can you handle a couple more? Because I'm ready to close here. This one's smaller print. Here we go. How do you know if this is happening, the red flags? How does Christian recognize the red flags if their leaders deny being associated, affiliated, more recognizable founders with celebrity and celebrity leaders? Here's some traits that characterize these teachings. Because NAR isn't an official organization. It's loosely knit and often unaffiliated network of leaders who share a common vision and goal for the visible church. Here's the six hallmarks of these new doctrines. Number one, apostles. We are in a second age apostolic age. There are new apostles on the earth today, anointed by the laying on of hands. And if anybody wants to be an apostle, they just have hands laid on them. Well, isn't that something? When they were with Jesus, they had to see him. They had to pay a price. Some of them, they all died terrible deaths while standing for the faith. Now you can just pay $400 and be one. These super apostles are equal to the original apostles, the one who witnessed Jesus' life, death, and resurrection and were appointed by Christ himself to the office. Since these new apostles are commissioned by God, their authority cannot be questioned. So the first sign is apostles. The second one is the word kingdom. Rather than preach the gospel of the cross, apostolic leaders are working to bring the gospel of the kingdom of heaven to earth. They do this by taking dominion of earthly kingdoms or mountains of government, media, entertainment, education, business, family, and religion. Leaders often talk of city building and organized prayer walks to pray against demonic strongholds. First one, apostles, kingdom. The third one is destiny, presence, or glory. And I always like that word glory, but they've twisted it. They have special anointing to receive direct revelation from God, perform healings and other signs and wonders. They teach that our purpose is to achieve our dream destiny so we can change the world. Number four, revival. Revival on a massive scale is key in this movement. There is a strong emphasis of an end-time harvest through a great awakening that we can usher in. This is the problem, that we do it. End times falling away are ignored and replaced with hyped-up claims about the next big thing that's always just around the corner. Number five, unity. Unity for the sake of bringing heaven to earth is leading to the blurring of doctrinal and denominational lines, often bringing together well-known leaders of charismatic, reformed, word of faith, seeker emergent, progressive, and Roman Catholic churches all under one umbrella. Number six and last one, it denies the sufficiency of Scripture. These movements say that God's word that was breathed is just not enough for them. Jesus' sacrificial death for our sins is not good enough. The promise of eternal life in heaven is not good enough. So what do? We have to study to show ourselves approved. Amen. You have to know what you believe in this hour. Most Christians don't know enough in their own Bibles to know if someone's preaching a false doctrine or a false Jesus. So we have to study to show ourselves approved, because then we can say, that's not the Bible. That's wrong. That's a false prophet. That's someone that's trying to lead me away from the Bible. That's someone that's trying to take me into supernatural ministry, right? Now, signs follow the believer. God, if he wants something to happen, if you know, wow, God did that. We give God the glory. We don't take away from who God is and what he wants to do, but we don't add to it either. So we are undoing. We are unlearning. Sometimes it's hard to tear a building down. And we're tearing down some of the things that we thought were right, and we're trying to build a solid foundation, because what's coming on the earth, we need to know the real Jesus. Yeah. And when you're faced with a crisis, you need to know God's not mad at you. If something doesn't happen, he's not punishing you. More people have been put into a fear of God that's wrong. Oh, I got to do this. I got to do my confessions every day. We've gotten so religious with works. Come back to the simplicity of Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, for warning red flags of so much that's going on in the Christian, so-called Christian world today that's not of you, that's been happening for many, many, many years. And we're not on a witch hunt. We're on a truth hunt. And Father, we thank you for your word is truth. And we thank you, Lord, that we know your truth in our inward parts. And as these days, the Bible says, are going to get worse and worse, we thank you, Lord. Our path gets brighter and brighter because we're walking with you. We know the true Jesus, and we know the word of God. And everyone said?
Amen. We just want to share a quick message with our YouTube audience. First, we want to thank you for being here. We know that your time is valuable, and we don't take it lightly that you choose to join us each week. We really appreciate that. If you have found our messages helpful, we would ask you to please click like and share these messages on your social media to help get the truth out. We also just want to introduce that we're a small fellowship of believers here that want to bring people back to the truth of God's word and follow the real Jesus. We do life together, and we see you as our extended church family, and we would love to be able to do life with you too. We would invite you to connect with us on our private Facebook group. You can find a link for that below in the description, or you can search for us on Facebook by looking for LIHPC Online Church Fellowship. Please find us there and send us a message that you'd like to become a member, and we look forward to connecting with you. Many of you have taken time to write letters or send emails. We find that a great encouragement and a blessing, and we thank you. We really look forward to getting to know you better online as well. Lastly, if you see us as part of your church family and you would like to support our ministry, we have a link below in the description that you can click to donate to our ministry. You'll also find a link for that on our private Facebook group. Or you can go to our church website, which is livinginhispresence.org, and click Give up at the top. We appreciate your support and donations, and we just thank you very much for being here and being a part of our church family.
You are the fire.